so go ahead. Can you pray for me? Thanks.
Dear Lord, thank you for this care group. Thank you for Phil and Jamel for opening up their home and every week over a week and entertaining us and feeding us. And we ask that you just watch over us and watch over Phil as he gives your word tonight. Lord, we ask that you just quiet our hearts and our souls to receive your word.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. And thanks everybody for coming. I really appreciate it tonight. Does everybody have a Bible? Can someone pass out the Bibles? That would be awesome. This one's a really good Bible right here, actually. Yeah, this one's a good one. That's Amy's Bible. She doesn't come anymore.
Where's Duck?
I've just been reaching out to everybody, but you know, some people just... No. So everybody's kind of in crisis right now.
It's the best time to come.
Oh, I hear you totally. I push into God more than ever when I'm in crisis, but some people don't see it that way, you know.
It's hard.
So we're have to just keep praying and pushing through, no matter how difficult it gets. So anyhow, tonight's teaching is on wisdom, which is a very, very, very huge thing. Matter of fact, it's the most important thing that one could ever aspire to hope for, to have. And Solomon himself, out of all the prayers that God would have given him, he went ahead and asked for wisdom. So it was really, really important subject and stuff. So in James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask it of God, who gives it to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Wisdom is knowledge. Wisdom is a deep understanding and realization of people, things, events, and even situations. This will result in the ability to apply perception, judgments, and actions in keeping with this understanding. Wisdom requires control of one's emotional reactions. Our ability to act with wisdom is our implementation of knowledge to daily life. True wisdom will come from applying the word of God. We read in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1, 7. Go ahead.
"The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction."
Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. With the information age, wisdom is scarce, but knowledge is abundant. The fear of the Lord is the base of knowledge. The principle of wisdom comes from experience. When we evolve into wiser individuals, we are inclined to be more like Christ Jesus. As Jesus, we're able to grow in wisdom while we walk with God. For many people, when they hear the word wisdom, they think of the example of King Solomon. But we live in a very, very dangerous age right now where there is so much knowledge floating out there on the internet. It's almost like the human species needs to take a break and just categorize the knowledge and just vegetate on it for a decade or two. It's happening at a really fast pace. And right now, there is all this disinformation out there on the internet that people are believing. All of this stuff that people believe that is just, it's just lies. I mean, some of this stuff, and I deal with it every day in my job. You know, a lot of people come to me and, you know, they ask me for help in ranking on search engines and stuff. And I know the way to do it because I've been doing it since 1989. But there's all of these people out there who claim to be experts, and it's polluted the industry so bad that nobody even knows. They think you lied to them when you tell them you can get them number one on Google. All of my clients are number one on Google, right? Number one organics, and they don't pay anything, you know? But there is so much information out there. It's like, I am so happy that Solomon asked for wisdom, you know? Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 4. And this is the story of how Solomon asked for wisdom. And this is a really important story because it explains everything. Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 4. This is big.
Got it.
Who had it? Okay.
When David had brought up the Ark of God from the area to the place that he had prepared for it, because he had pitched a tent in Jerusalem.
Yep. But the bronze altar.
Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made was a Gibeon in front of the tabernacle of the Lord. So Solomon and the assembly inquired to him there. So Solomon went up to the bronze altar before the Lord in the tent of meeting and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it.
Amen. So Solomon was loyal. And the Ark of the Covenant was dragged around, and it won them many, many battles. And Solomon went up before the Lord, right in front of the tent of meeting, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it to God. 1,000 burnt offerings. Can you imagine? That must have taken 2 weeks.
What's a burnt offering? It's just such a waste of cute animals.
It's animals that you sacrifice to the Lord. We're under the new covenant now, so that's a whole other subject.
Just
but
like tons and tons of animals.
Back in the day, they would sacrifice a burnt offering to God, because it's back in the day, that's, you know, the way that it was. We're under the new covenant now, but that was the old covenant. In verse 7, it says, "That night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, 'Ask for whatever you want me to give you.' And Solomon answered, 'You have shown great kindness to David, my father, and have made me king in this place, in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead these people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?'" That is exactly the prayer that Solomon asked of God. He could have asked for money, he could have asked for riches, he could have asked for all these wonderful things that people worry about today. I mean, I worry about money all the time. The fear of poverty is always on my mind. You know, all these expenses that I have to come up with continually are always on my mind. But it's like you really have to really think about how powerful that was. Now, I know Solomon was king, but there are many, and I know that he had money, and I know that he had a lot of things that men desire, but still, he asked for wisdom, because wisdom is more important to me than anything else. With wisdom, you can gain all this other stuff, but with wisdom, it's really, really powerful stuff. It gives you foresight into the future. It tells you everything you need to know about everybody. It gives you the ability to perceive a problem and judge correctly, you know, and really make a difference. Amen. So this is what God said to Solomon in chapter 11, verse 11. I'm sorry. "Since this is your heart's desire and you have not asked for wealth, possessions, honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people, whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given you, and I will also give you wealth, possessions, and honor, such as no king who was before you ever had, and none after you will ever have." So Solomon asked for wisdom, and what did God do? God rewarded him with not only wisdom, but wealth, possessions, honor, such as no king ever had and no king ever will. And to this day, no one in Israel has ever amassed such possessions as this, to this day. And that is very, very powerful. So that tells us that it's very honorable when we seek wisdom. When we really seek wisdom, it's very, very honorable to God, okay?
Yeah.
We see his wisdom in the decision he made when two women came before him, each claiming to be the mother of a living child they brought. One child had died. Now, back in those days, prostitution ran rampant. But it was an okay thing. the kings put up with it. Nobody was arrested for it because at the time it was viewed as a way to keep women from getting hurt. If there were prostitutes, you know, men had an option to go to if the blood ran a little too hot. Okay? So these two prostitutes, one of them, both had gotten pregnant. So let's go to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. And this is the wisdom that God gave Solomon. This was his ability to use this wisdom. And any one of us can ask for this wisdom. And I'll show you how later in the teaching. But if you are in a trial right now, if the rain is beating down on you really, really hard, maybe you're getting evicted from your house, maybe you have medical problems, maybe you have enemies that are creeping in against you, and you want to come back to Jesus, but you need help and you need wisdom, you can ask God for wisdom. And just like he granted it to Solomon, he'll grant it to you. And you will get the wisdom to get out of these situations. When I am under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, when I really worship God for like 30, maybe 40 minutes, if I go to like a revival seminar, like World Revival Church or Revival Night at New Hope International, and I get filled with the Holy Spirit, when you're in tune with the Holy Spirit, and it's like turning a little radio program on, when you get in complete tune with the Holy Spirit, it's like you're communing with God. All of a sudden, God will give you supernatural wisdom. Wisdom that you never thought possible before. Wisdom on business ideas. Wisdom on how to decorate your house. Wisdom on where to get books for the nursery. Wisdom on things to cook. Whatever your gifting is, whatever God has you doing for the kingdom, you will be given this wisdom. Like God gives me just like zaps.com ideas into my brain. Like lightning bolts. And he gives me, he tells me where to go to get them built. He tells me what colors they should be. And all of this wisdom God can give you. So don't think that this is something special or you have to have a really important or relationship and not live in sin or anything like that, because this is available to anyone who repents of their sins, comes back to Christ, and is in the process of building their relationship with Jesus. You can ask for wisdom. So listen, what did Solomon ask for? Solomon asked for wisdom when he could have asked for money, honor, and anything. So God blessed him with not only wisdom, but God blessed him with everything that his heart's desired anyway. Crushed his enemies. Oh, I would love it if I can crush my enemies. I have people that come against me all the time that accuse me of all sorts of horrible things. And God has pulled me out of each and every one of them. Because I have a heart for God, I'm serving God, and I ask God for wisdom. Amen. Amen. So let's find out how King Solomon dealt with these two prostitutes. Who's got 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 16? Go ahead.
Now two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, "My lord, this woman and I live in the same house. I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one else in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son to my side while I, your servant, was asleep.
Wow.
She put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast. Next morning, I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son I had born. The other woman said, 'No, the living one is my son. The dead one is yours.' But the first one insisted, 'No, the dead one is yours, the living one is mine.' And so they argued before the king."
So they argued before the king. So what happened was, these two prostitutes got pregnant, obviously. And one of them, and this happens in this day and age too, smothered her baby, and it died.
Why would they want a baby if they're a prostitute, though?
Babies are a joy.
Never had an option.
Because I don't know, I'm not a woman, but I would still want a child that
you're
was mine, half mine.
You don't know.
I don't. Are you saying you wouldn't want the child?
Maybe I would.
Okay.
Woman's choice.
Right.
The king said, this one says, my son is alive and your son is dead, while that one says, no, your son is dead and mine is alive. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword for the king. He then gave an order, cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. The woman whose son was alive was filled with compassion for her son and said to the king, please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him. But the other said, neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two. When the king gave his ruling, give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother.
So King Solomon pulled out a sword and threatened to cut the baby in half. And as he lifted up the sword, the mother cried, no, give it to the lady. Let her have him. She can have the baby. Solomon knew right away who the mother was, because the other one was like, cut him in half. Because she was upset that she had smothered her baby in the night and she switched it. That is the kind of wisdom that King Solomon had. And when he did that, that spread all over the land. And Solomon became famous for that decision. And a lot of people really, really, Solomon's wisdom like really became well known after that. So the beginning of wisdom starts basically when we ask God. We need the wisdom to know how to make life's hard decisions and the inner strength to follow through. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, which is a real good proverb. And who wrote Proverbs? Amen. King David wrote Proverbs.
Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6.
Was Proverbs David or Solomon?
Solomon.
I thought it was Solomon. Proverbs.
Oh, David. I thought it was Solomon.
Saul. I thought it was Solomon.
Chapter 2, verse 6.
Yep, chapter 2, verse 6.
For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth. Come knowledge and understanding.
Amen. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. In Psalms 119.97, it says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Wisdom can be compared to a compass. When we are hiking, we can use a compass to aid us in finding the right path. And we do use a compass. It can also be compared to a map to help us make certain we are going in the right direction. Wisdom is very, very important. And godly wisdom is much better than worldly wisdom. It always beats out worldly wisdom. Because you always are taken care of and you always are protected and you're always doing the right thing when you have godly wisdom. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. This is a very, very important scripture. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6.
Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding.
In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Amen. Mm-hmm. So, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on worldly understanding. And this is so difficult for me to do because sometimes I run into a real big roadblock, and in my mind, it seems that I know how to get out of it. You know, in my mind, I want to use all of my worldly wisdom to fix the problem. You know, like if somebody comes against me, or a lot of times I get very angry because I have this herd of people on the internet that they change their name, they change their IP addresses, and they follow me around, and they keep track of like what .coms I'm launching or whatever I'm doing. And they try to mimic it, and they try to make copies of it. And I get so angry I can't see straight because a lot of these guys are real well-funded. So they'll have 40 or 50 clones up that don't work, but it doesn't keep them from selling them to the client. You know, that just further pollutes the market. And I so badly want to hire an attorney. And I so badly want to serve them with papers, and I so badly want to get a judgment because none of them would ever show up for trial. But that's my worldly mind thinking, you know? So what I do is I pray about it, and I have wisdom about it, and I let God fight my battles, and I'm more patient than ever. And it's really hard you know, to do that. Amen?
The two verses that follow the one that you just recommended
mm-hmm.
in Proverbs 3:7-8 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones."
Amen. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. What
and
a powerful
don't
scripture.
Be wise in your own eyes. We always think that we have the answer, you know. Oh, God's telling me this, and really, He's not. You know.
Amen. We're
supposed to be doing this.
Amen. We are to ask God for wisdom to guide us in making our choices. Christians do not need to fumble around with the hope of staggering into the answers. Let's go to James chapter 3. I think it's verse 17. James chapter 3, verse 17 it is. This is a very beautiful scripture. A man can live his whole life by the book of James. I love the book of James.
James 3 what?
17.
Got it. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness.
Amen. I wish that I could send emails like that. I wish that I can give like criticism like that. You know, I wish that I could like teach people, you know, with pure words, with peaceable words, with gentle words, with willing to yield words, with full of mercy words and good fruits. But everything from God is beautiful. Everything from God is pure. And James chapter 3, verse 17 is such a beautiful scripture.
I think we should start. I think we should read from verse 13 really quick.
Okay, go ahead.
Joel, you read it.
I'm in Ezra.
Go to James 3.
James
is at the very back.
James 3.
All right, I can read it.
Chapter 3.
I just read. You haven't read.
Did you say 17?
At the very back. It's at the very back.
Oh, she's got it. Michelle, read it. You can't read it.
3:13. Nice.
Okay.
Good job. 13.
Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom.
Amen.
But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against your mouth. The wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, then gently, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace.
Amen.
I like my version better. I think there should be
New Life is great.
Should I read mine?
Sure.
Okay, let me read it again. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. So people who are wise are going to be naturally humble. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny it, or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice.
Amen. Amen.
What does this say?
It's saying that the earthly wisdom is envious of others, and that earthly wisdom is selfish in its ambition. But godly wisdom is humble.
Amen.
And peace, about all about peacemaking.
Amen. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Amen?
Amen.
His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. God will grant us wisdom, but we are not able to receive it if our ambitions are self-centered and not centered on God. And this is something that God really spoke to me today. I think my ambitions are self-centered. You know, I don't think they're focused on God. And I want to get my ambitions focused on God and not on being self-centered. So our wisdom will begin with respect for the Lord. This will lead us to live fitting lives in His service. An individual's salvation cannot stand in any human knowledge or wisdom of men. Amen? We see in the scriptures there is a definite contrast drawn between intelligence and wisdom. If a person takes the word of God and applies it to one's daily life, that person will be known as wise. Many knowledgeable people, however, will make wrong moral choices. So there's a real big difference between being knowledgeable and being wise. Amen?
Amen.
In this world, you will see many different values that compete with the Bible. Many situations may originate from the world, but we need biblical wisdom to make right choices. With biblical wisdom, we will lead productive lives, amen, in the Lord's service. So it's very, very important that to attain this wisdom, we must ask God for it. Children should be brought up looking for the wisdom only obtained from God. And this will solve a lot of disciplinary problems, by the way. I mean, that I can think of. Amen. Every single night at 7:30, we have a 30-minute Bible study in the kids' room. All three of them. They get the word, they get the worship, and we pray for wisdom, and then they go to bed. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to really shoot for wisdom. So in closing, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, through 7. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equality. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We are told in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So that's pretty much it, you guys.
That was wonderful.